Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
A new era in Pittsburgh has begun, ladies and gentlemen. It is the Steelers Fix. I'm behind the steel curtain, your one-stop shop for all things Pittsburgh Steelers. My name is Andrew Wilbar, alongside the legendary Jeremy Betts. Jeremy, a new era has started in the Steel City. What are your initial thoughts?
Well, hopefully Kenny Pickett is a good bit more legendary than myself by the end of his career. I don't know, mixed bag results in the first exposure to KP8, but a lot of positives to look at. So I'm feeling pretty good, man. I'm, despite the loss, which I don't know, it was probably the most depressing loss of the season so far, because the unit that you were hoping would be the one to make the plays when you're up 10 points, that being the defense, could not make a stop for an entire quarter. And it, you know, blew the game for the Steelers. And I mean, you can look at some other things, obviously, but when it comes down to it, the defense didn't hold up their end of the bargain this week. And just feels like when the defense does, the offense can't do it. And now when the offense finally does enough, the defense can't do it. So it's frustrating. Absolutely.
Talk about a guy who put some ice on his thermometer this week, Zach Wilson.
Sheesh.
Coming in, you know, concerns, you know, is Joe Flacco just going to keep the job? You know, what's going to happen to Zach Wilson when he comes back and leading them back in that fourth quarter? I mean, that was a well-played game. He displayed good decision-making. He didn't look incredibly rusty either, right, considering the time that he was out. He looked pretty sharp.
And very Houdini-like, Patrick Mahomes-like, escaping pressure. The Steelers should have had 6 sacks in that game, and they only came away with 1 because he did some sort of voodoo, wacky moving around back there, and it was absolutely impressive to watch, despite rooting for the opposite side. So Zach Wilson could have a bright future over there in New York, especially with that cast of weapons around him. He's got guys left and right he can get the ball to. So,
and we don't even talk about Elijah Moore, but you know, a guy who a lot of people are even beginning to give up on in his second year. Another talented guy. We saw Corey Davis go off yesterday, and of course Garrett Wilson really becoming that number one guy in that offense. They have weapons, and that offensive line is slowly beginning to improve. Mm-hmm. If that can improve, they've got the running game too with Michael Carter and Breece Hall. Michael Carter hasn't done a whole lot the past couple weeks, but we've seen his ability on the field, and Breece Hall seems to be getting a little bit stronger each week. Well, there's a lot of different things we're going to get into in today's show. And the title of the show is Picking Positives from the Steelers 1-3 start. We look at it. We've not seen the greatest outcome so far, mm-hmm. but there are positives that have come out of this season. And you can look at it from many different perspectives. And Jeremy and I will both be coming from different ones, as we typically do. But that's what makes it interesting, just to be able to go back and forth and see each other's perspectives. And we're always interested in hearing yours as well. If you have thoughts on the situation with the Steelers currently right now, be sure to hit us up on Twitter and give us your thoughts. And who knows, we may be mentioning you in next week's show. And by the way, if you haven't checked it out, as we mentioned on many weeks, but go and check out Jeffrey Benedict's Cutting Room Floor article. Cutting Room Floor podcast. Man, really having a rough time here. We have Jeremy's. I'm getting mixed up between Jeremy's fantasy article and Jeffrey's Cutting Room Floor podcast. But you can guarantee he's going to be breaking down all the biggest stuff, especially as it pertains to Pickett and Trubisky. He can break it down as good as anybody behind the steel curtain. So be sure to go and check him out. And don't forget, following us tonight, The Scobro Show. You can always check them out live on YouTube, but also be sure to check them out here wherever you listen to podcasts and check them out. They're always quite a bit of fun. I always enjoy it when I get an opportunity to hang in the live chat when they're going live. Haven't had a chance to do that yet this collegiate semester, but hoping to very quickly. Jeremy, I know we're both into some of the YouTube live podcasts. Mm-hmm. Which one would be your favorite of the primetime podcasts?
Well, I mean, when I got my start with Behind the Steel Curtain, or I guess not my start with them, but, you know, first started going to them as a source and listening to their podcasts and stuff, it was always the preview and the post game that I really enjoyed, the dynamic with those guys. And but I really enjoy the Touchdown Under. I enjoy the Scobro Show. They're all so good. And if you haven't listened to some of those, and if you haven't joined in live and chatted with the guys on YouTube, you've got to do that. It is a blast. And Steelers fans coming together for a fun time. Really cool.
Before you started this podcast, if I remember right, you were a guest on the preview once, if I recall.
Yeah, I was. It was more of an intro of what I would be doing, but yes, I did get a chance to do that, and it was a lot of fun. Those guys just play off each other so well, Jeff, Brian, and Dave, and so it was neat to be a part of that. I hope to be able to do that again sometime. That'd be fun.
Most definitely. And Know Your Enemy is another good show.
Yes,
that I always enjoy, especially with Jeffrey and Shannon, and just their football knowledge, being able to look at it from the opposite team's perspective, just really gives a good balance to the game as we preview it for the following week. There's not a ton of news outside of the fact that the Steelers are 1-3 and the quarterback situation. But initial indications show that the Steelers are going to be sticking with Kenny Pickett. Doesn't seem to be much of a debate at this point. Jeremy, I think you and I both agreed last week, even though we were on opposite sides of the disagreement, we both agreed that when Pickett comes in for that first time, it's him all the way. You can't go back regardless of what the result is. Ian Rappaport's reporting that it looks like the Steelers are going to stick with Kenny Pickett. I don't think that anybody's going to throw a fit over this one. I assume we can agree that this is really the only option the Steelers have at this point.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, by the time listeners get a chance to sit down and listen to this, Mike Tomlin might have made that official and his Tuesday press conference. So, you know, that's something that we'll be watching for as well. And I'm sure you'll get the latest updates from behindthesteelcurtain.com about that. But, Andrew, I think, you know, we had the first take style debate about it last week, and it was a lot of fun. Turns out we were both, you know, kind of right. They did give Trubisky a little more time, one more half, and then it was time for the rookie. So both of our wishes happened in the same game. I don't know how it felt to you, but I was very excited with the turnout. But
yeah, we can get into that more maybe once we get into picking the positives and the negatives. Sure. Well, we're not doing the negatives today, but we'll try to keep it positive as much as we can. But another thing noteworthy is that Calvin Austin, a guy who flashed a lot in the early portions of mini camp and before the injury looked really, really solid. He is a guy who is now coming off injured reserve, has a chance to come back and be a part of this offense. Do you think he's going to have a prominent role in the offense early on, especially with Pickett coming in? Do you think that they're going to be able to develop a chemistry that can show, that can give us some fruit early on?
Yeah, it's definitely possible. I would say, you know, the way Gunnar Olszewski has been struggling as a return specialist so far this year for the Steelers, and crazy to think of those struggles because he was so good last year, so reliable, at least for the Patriots. But yeah, I think he probably brings a little bit more in special teams potentially right away than in the offense, but he does have a chance to be a guy that they use on some of those jet sweeps and some of those motions. And I think he would definitely come in for the snaps that we have seen Gunnar on the field. So I'm excited to see him. If he comes off of IR this week, comes back healthy, that speed is real, and I'm ready to see it on the field.
Steven Sims, man, Steven Sims.
Hey, he could be the one too, you know, he could be the one, you know, with the special teams impact if Gunnar continues to struggle. Mm-hmm. Two fumbles in 2 weeks, three actually, I think.
Yep.
You know, that's unacceptable. And if there's one thing that'll rile up a coach more than anything, is putting the football on the ground. So not good for Gunnar, and might spell limited time for him.
On the defensive side of the ball, DeMonte KZ has 1 week left on his suspension. Jeremy, I know that toward the end of the game, Minkah Fitzpatrick was down. The Steelers lack a lot of depth in the secondary. What do you think the impact could be of DeMonte KZ coming back and rejoining the secondary that really needs a burst of energy?
Well, obviously for Buffalo, he will not be available. But if he comes off IR and then you know, serves his suspension and is ready for Tampa Bay, I think that could be a huge deal with Tom Brady and company coming to town. There are more weapons on that offense probably than any of the Steelers will face this year, with Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Julio Jones, Russell Gage. I mean, the list goes on. That doesn't even count Cameron Brate at tight end and Leonard Fournette and, you know, those guys in the backfield. So a lot of weapons, and the secondary is going to need to be, you know, just really have all hands on deck. So if he can be there for that, that would be huge for this team. Looking forward to getting him on the field because he's such a solid technician on the back end. And I think that he would help with some of the tackling struggles that the Steelers might have had in recent weeks.
As it pertains to the secondary, we know that Terrell Austin is kind of the head guy, especially considering the fact that he is the overall defensive coordinator. Mm. But there's always talk about Brian Flores, especially when you bring in a guy like this who can play a lot of different roles. It's like, you know, could he be another hybrid guy for Brian Flores? How big of an impact do you think Brian Flores is having on the secondary? Or do you think this is more Terrell Austin's department solely?
I think the secondary is really Austin's baby. You know, I could see, obviously, Flores's input from a schematic standpoint, but, you know, coaching these guys up and getting them ready to play and putting them in a position to be successful according to their strengths, I think is on Terrell Austin. I really do. And, you know, I think, and we'll talk about a couple of the linebackers maybe a little bit later in the show, but I think Flores, you can really see his coach him up skills in the linebacker room. Miles Jack, third in the NFL in tackles, and he's doing it because he's in the right place and making tackles, not because he's chasing down a bunch of running backs from behind and whatnot. He's doing it legit. And Devin Bush has played pretty solid this year, and he's getting a little bit better each game, I think. And so I think you're really seeing the Brian Flores impact in the middle of the field as opposed to in the secondary.
I tend to agree, and that's not to bash the secondary, really, or with Terrell Austin anyways, because when you look at the talent or lack thereof he has at cornerback right now, mm-hmm. I think he's doing a solid job with what he has. I think it's kind of forced him to call games a little bit more conservatively, so we can't see a more aggressive defense. But then again, since Mike Tomlin's been the head coach, the Steelers have never been an aggressive team in the secondary. We'll see if that changes in the future.
I would say this, you know, the Steelers' personnel on defense, suits a TJ Watt led front four,
yes,
able to get to rush the passer extremely well. And you can tell that that's how they built this team on defense, because, you know, primarily zone guys on the back end that are watching the quarterback. And when you got guys, we saw it in week one, when you got TJ Watt wrecking the game on one edge, and now Alex Highsmith totally coming into his own as an NFL player here, winning one-on-one with the attention on Watt, he feasted on Joe Burrow. And you saw that play out in the passing game, and the secondary just sat back there and read the quarterback's eyes and made plays on the football. That's what they're designed and built to do. When the defense can't get pressure up front, as we've seen the last 3 weeks without Watt, it struggles a little more on the back end. And so you've got to kind of weigh that in there too. Solid guys on the, in the defensive backfield, especially at cornerback, more talking cornerback, because Minka's an absolute monster back there. But at cornerback, you've got guys that are solid, but not flashy. And that, you know, can only hold up so much over the course of a game when the front four is not applying the pressure that you hoped it could with a healthy TJ Watt.
Nothing is better for a sick defense than the medicine of a hardy pass rush. Difficult to
well said
produce it when you're without the maybe the best defensive player in all of football outside of maybe Aaron Donald. But with that being said, it is time for good bets and bad bets.
Got some good ones this week too.
Jeremy, let's see how far you can get. You're slowly improving.
Slowly improving, yes.
We've gotta get through both the all the good and the bad. Do you think
without rushing at the end, today? Right? I'm up for it. I really am. I'll keep it concise. Maybe I'll finish ahead of schedule too. You never know, and then I'll just fill in with some guys off the top of my head that I like this week. So
all right.
Yeah,
well,
let's do it.
Your 2 minutes starts now.
We're going to start with good bets from this last week. Pat Freiermuth and George Pickens with Kenny Pickett. Their stock goes up to me. I think you see that Kenny and George had more of a connection from training camp. You've seen that play out. And he trusts Pickens to make those plays. Pat Freiermuth working the middle of the field a little bit more with a quarterback who's not afraid to throw there. I like those two guys moving forward for fantasy. The Lions passing game. Man, is it impressive. Even without their top weapon in Amon-Ra St. Brown, Josh Reynolds and TJ Hockenson, who went off in this game, were just total studs. This offense is going to score points fantasy-wise in the passing game, no matter who's out there. So keep that in mind. And then Chris Olave, another Ohio State alumni that is killing it at the wide receiver position. He's a high-end wide receiver too for me for the remainder of the year, playing lights out no matter who's playing quarterback back there. Bad bets, though. We got to get into it. Najee Harris is struggling to score points in fantasy. Part of it is usage. Part of it is efficiency. Some of the same issues we had last year that were overcome by some dump-off passing game usage. We're not seeing that as much this year, so that is a struggle for Najee. The Cowboys running backs looked really bad this last week against and not fantastic Washington front seven. Those guys scare me moving forward. And then obviously we got to talk about Javonte Williams, tore his ACL and his LCL this week. Guys gonna need to step up there. Melvin Gordon and I can't remember who their backup is, but Javonte Williams out for the season. That hurts some fantasy managers out there. So that is good bets and bad bets this week.
With 12 seconds to spare.
Yeah, man. Cool.
That's impressive. Couple things. I have Javonte Williams in two leagues. One of them is a 14-team league, and one of them is a 12-team league.
Yeah.
And in one of those leagues, I already – actually, in both of those leagues, I also have Elijah Mitchell, who has been out.
Yeah.
So now in the one league, I have – I don't even know who my number two running back even is anymore. It's going to get ugly in that league pretty quickly without Javonte Williams. Missed out on the top running backs early. They went before I had an opportunity to take one. Not a good situation for Javonte Williams fantasy owners. And then as you were talking about with the Lions, we got to give Antoine Randall-El some credit with what he's been doing with those wide receivers, man. I'm telling you, he has done a phenomenal job in that wide receiver room. And I mean, obviously, give credit to the offensive line as well, because we knew they were going to be a solid unit, but they're still playing really well. Goff has done a good job, but I wouldn't say that he's the one making this offense move. It's the wide receivers sure. making plays and not necessarily the big name guys either.
Yeah, absolutely. Goff is playing very well at what he always was with the Rams. Rams. Just getting the ball to to the open guy. You know, he knows how to do that. And every now and then he'll throw a real pretty ball. I mean, he's got a really tight throwing motion and you know, he plays the game as a technician, and it's really working in this offense. If the Lions had any semblance of a defense, man, they'd be scary.
Oh yeah. What's crazy is that their defensive coordinator, who I think is still going to be a good defensive coordinator, but he just doesn't have the pieces right now to work with.
Sure.
But once he can get that defense under control, I mean, you're talking as soon as next year, this could be a team that competes. This, I mean,
yeah.
You got to wonder what happens with Jared Goff. Do they move along with Goff the way he's playing right now? Or do they go after a guy in the draft, an Anthony Richardson, a CJ Stroud, a Bryce Young, depending on where they're picking? I mean, they're still losing games. So it'll be interesting to see.
If it ain't broke on the offense, don't fix it. You know, I would say, you know, they, you know, how it's going right now, they'll probably still have a top 10, top 15 pick, get a defensive stud, maybe in the secondary, help you guys out. And then
I think free agency may be the way to go for the defense for quick fixes.
Yeah, they'll be a huge free agency player this next year. Should have some cap space to work with as well.
Most definitely. Do you have a timer set, Jeremy?
I'm getting it up right now, and it looks like you've got a few guys to talk about. So we'll see how you can do here as well.
I don't have quite as many as the past couple of weeks, but
sure,
they'll have some guys.
There you go. All righty. 2 minutes on the clock. 3, 2, 1. Let's go.
Well, for those of you who like – good names for the draft. How about Jake Bobo, wide receiver from UCLA? Yes, that is a real name. 6 receptions, 142 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Big wide receiver. Doesn't have excellent speed, anything like that, but he can win the jump ball. Guy to keep an eye on as the draft process progresses. Jahmyr Gibbs, a guy who's had a really difficult start to the season for Alabama, not having the production that we expected when he transferred in. But on Saturday against Arkansas, 18 carries for 206 yards. That included a 76-yarder. He had 2 touchdowns on the afternoon. Big day for him is exactly what he needed to keep his okay draft status alive, but still going to need to back this up with some more solid performances as the year goes on. Jalen Carlees, linebacker from Mizzou, a guy who had a big impact in a game that was almost one of the biggest upsets we've seen in years over Georgia. He had 13 tackles, 11 of which were solo, and he had 2.5 tackles for loss. Not a guy very many people know about, but right now a guy maybe on day 3, if he does declare for the draft, guy to keep an eye on. Miles Murphy, guy who's been projected as a first round pick for some time now, defensive lineman from Clemson, had 1.5 sacks against NC State on Saturday. You want to talk about some offensive linemen, since really that's what the Steelers need to be focused on the most. Nick Broeker, offensive lineman from Ole Miss, interior lineman, has a lot of versatility. He didn't give up any sacks. I don't believe he allowed any pressures even on Saturday against Kentucky. He paved the way for a 186-yard rushing attack for Ole Miss. They had a lot of success on the ground, and he was a big reason why. Emmanuel Forbes, we've been talking about corners a lot. We talked about Joey Porter. Last week, we talked about Turner from Michigan. Emmanuel Forbes had 2 interceptions, one of which he returned for a touchdown for Mississippi State in their upset win on Saturday. A big guy to keep an eye on. I think he's a potential first-round pick at this point. His stock is rising quickly.
10 seconds.
Jalen Duncan, offensive tackle, Maryland, nearly flawless in pass protection against Michigan State. Maryland ran for over 175 yards. He was a big reason why. And B.J. Ojulari, brother of Aziz Ojulari, 4 tackles, 2 sacks, and Colby winning. And check the rest out on BehindTheSteelCurtain.com, your one-stop shop for all things Pittsburgh Steelers.
There you go. Good stuff, man. I'll tell you what. I was watching that Georgia and that Missouri game, and that Missouri defense was flying around like crazy. And, you know, I've also noticed that Clemson's defense really is a catalyst for that team as well. They're going to be tough to beat for opposing offenses, no matter who it is. They might not have the most explosive offense there in Clemson, but two powerhouses that one powerhouse in Clemson that has a really good defense. And then Mizzou really had Georgia on its heels for probably 3.5 quarters of that game before Georgia turned it on at the end. So,
yeah, it really comes down to, with Clemson specifically, just the consistency of DJ Uiagalelei. They have all the other pieces they need to. Will Shipley is a tremendous back. I mean, you could even compare him some to Christian McCaffrey, the way he moves and his quickness, his speed.
He's a little bit bigger than McCaffrey, too, isn't he? I think he's a Might
I'll
be
have
a
to
little
check the
bit
numbers because
bigger.
I don't have the numbers in front of me, but man, when he declares, he's going to you got to be thinking right now, first round pick. I've got a first round grade on him for the following draft, following this year. But definitely a guy to keep an eye on moving forward. We're going to take our break right now, but when we come back, we're going to get into the topic of today's show, which is picking positives from the Steelers' rough 1-3 start. Don't go anywhere. You won't want to miss any of it. We'll be right back after this. We're back for the second half of the Steelers Fix. Jeremy Betts alongside me. My name is Andrew Wilbar. Let's mention something before we get into this, Jeremy. A guy that we interviewed in the pre-draft process, a guy that loved interviewing. You know, he was a laid-back guy, but he's so knowledgeable about the game. Bailey Zappi. And if you didn't get to check out that interview, go and check him out. You can check it out. I'm behind the steel curtain. I have it up on my YouTube channel if you want to see the video for it. He was just a really cool guy to hang around.
Yes.
And he got to play yesterday. I feel kind of bad, though, because I was talking to some of my friends here at college, and I'm like, you know, Brian Hoyer's starting today. Man, I never hope anyone gets injured, but, man, I really hope that he gets injured just so Bailey Zappi can play. And then he goes down.
Oh,
I'm
man,
like, oh, I don't know if I should have wished that. I feel kind of bad for the old man Brian Hoyer there. And all jokes aside, I do, you know, hope a quick recovery for Hoyer. Definitely don't want anything badly to come out of that. But we did get to see Bailey Zappi, and you could tell he was a little bit hesitant with it. It was a rough environment for him to come in to play at Lambeau Field where it was loud.
Yes, absolutely.
He didn't have a ton of help from his offense, several underthrown balls, but he did have one really good drive that he led down the field for a touchdown, 25-yard pass to Devontae Parker.
Beautiful throw.
Yeah. We have seen a lot worse opening games for rookie quarterbacks than Bailey Zappi.
Yeah.
He is a guy that, you know, we'll see what happens with, you know, Brian Hoyer's status heading into next week. But be perfectly honest, if I'm Bill Belichick and neither Mac Jones or even if Brian Hoyer is ready to go, wouldn't be a bad idea to just see what you have in Zappi, continue to see if he can show some growth, get some confidence. I don't know. I'm not aware of who their next opponent is, but I can't imagine it's going to be any worse of an environment than Lambeau Field. Maybe an opportunity for Zappi to get his feet wet. But overall, Jeremy, what are your thoughts on Bailey Zappi? I was pretty happy with his first game.
Yeah, I think he showed a lot of poise coming in like he did. Obviously, he probably got zero reps, you know, in practice this week. And for a guy who, like, I don't think he ever played under center in college. I think they were basically a shotgun air raid
for the most part,
offense, right?
he had kind of proven that he could play if it needed to be. He could play in a pro style offense because I remember that was one of the questions that we had asked him about, you know, going through his tape. He could go through his reads well. He wasn't, you know, just the one progression, you know, spread concept. You know, he could really read a defense, so it seems like it would translate well as time went along. And that was kind of one of the things he was really trying to prove to teams. Cause I think that was something that you'd mentioned to him and he's like, thank you so much for mentioning that. I'm glad somebody else, you know, realized that.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. I thought you saw that. I think he might've been like just a step slow going through his reads, but you know, I mean, like we said, getting thrown in there like that against a quality opponent in foreign territory as well, hostile environment there in Lambeau, one of the loudest stadiums in the NFL and one of the better defenses in the NFC as well. You know, I thought he did well and he kept him in the game, sent it to overtime with that touchdown. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that was a very impressive. And one thing you never were concerned about with Zappi was his ability to just take things in stride and be confident and poised. And he displayed that, I thought, very well.
And outside of that sack where he lost the fumble, which was that was a big boy sack by Rashawn Gary.
Yeah.
That was a welcome to the NFL moment for him. But other than that, he did a good job. And I mean, Tracy Wolfson, if I remember correctly, had asked Belichick or Belichick came over to the sideline. She had heard what he had said. And he was pretty much saying, you know, at the end of the day, we want him to just take care of the football. Don't do anything dumb with it. And you could tell maybe he was being a little bit hesitant because of that reason. You know, he didn't want to make a bad mistake, but he played it safe and overall solid first performance for the guy. I don't like rooting for New England, but I kind of had to yesterday when Zappy got in there. So definitely happy for him. But Jeremy, topic of today's show, picking positives. And this is Jeremy's idea, picking positives from the Steelers first 4 weeks, which have not been the prettiest, but
no,
there's always a silver lining, right? So Jeremy, let's start with you. What is the first thing that comes to your mind as it pertains to the beginning of the season? Something that we can take away that is a positive.
Sure. So I think I'll hit the obvious one just right off the bat. And it's, you know, we're talking picking the positives. So, you know, Kenny Pickett came in and it was up and down. Yes, it was. Made a couple bad decisions. But overall, you know, you got to love the fire that he brings to the offense. His play style is very, very confident, very leadership oriented. And I think no moment's too big for him. A lot of the talk about him, you know, we need to wait until this this tough stretch of games is over before throwing him in there. I don't think that that is a problem for him from a confidence standpoint. I thought, you know, he was quick to decipher the field for the most part, save the one throw to Freiermuth on the sideline. You know, that ball should have just been thrown out of bounds. And he kind of panicked after nobody in the middle of the field was open and, you know, guys in his face. So that was the one time you saw maybe some of those rookie jitters a little bit. But other than that, I mean, talk about a guy standing strong in the pocket and getting absolutely clobbered. Welcome to the NFL moment, like we just talked about with Zappy. You know, Williams just absolutely clocked the heck out of Pickett there. And it was, you know, he stood strong in the pocket and delivered a ball to Freiermuth that got it down to the 1 yard line. And then I think his legs are an underrated aspect of his game and he used them to perfection in this game and was very decisive when rolling out of the pocket, something that I did not think Trubisky was. So Pickett definitely brought a spark to this offense. And I think there will be some growing pains, but I think he is the guy moving forward and we'll see how, you know, how good he actually can be. But for this year, for sure, he's the guy.
Yeah, at this point, because we had talked about it in depth last week, and I don't think there's that many out there that would think otherwise. But if you're one of those Twitter trolls out there that thinks that benching Trubisky is going to make him better, you're delusional. Yeah. We have known, we all know that Trubisky's issues have never been about talent. He is a talented guy. It has always been about confidence, 100% about confidence. Benching the guy in place of a rookie is not going to help his confidence at any point. And I mean, you could make the argument the Steelers have the two most unlucky quarterbacks in the NFL, and Mason Rudolph and Mitch Trubisky. Mason, because of just all the drama that happened with the Myles Garrett incident, and then everything, you know, that has transpired in his few years in the NFL, and then Trubisky, who got booed before he ever played a game in the NFL and really had an effect on his confidence that he was never able to regain back. And, you know, we'll see what happens ahead. I mean, we saw a little bit more of the offense. It looked like he had a little bit more freedom on Sunday. And really, I mean, the interception wasn't even his fault. He played it safe. He was not responsible for any turnovers yesterday. Obviously, fans wanted Kenny.
PFF even mentioned that he had no turnover-worthy plays, you mm-hmm. know, that was PFF's turnover-worthy statistics or whatever for throws. Said he was not at fault. I mean, you could argue bad decision maybe on the second one, but still you can also say it hit his guys in the hands first and those guys got to make plays, you know, and also give credit to the Jets for playing the tip drill really well.
Yeah.
I mean, 9 times out of 10, those balls still hit the turf. And so bad bounces went the Jets way as well.
Yeah. I think the $1 million question at this point is really, was Canada allowing Trubisky to make plays on the move, or were they keeping him, forcing him to stay and make plays through the air? Because we saw, I don't want to jump to conclusions, because I did seem like the offense was a little bit better in allowing Trubisky, gave him a little bit more freedom on Sunday to do things that he was more comfortable doing, which was a positive sign. Mm-hmm. But then when they moved to Pickett, it looked as if it was the offense was, it wasn't necessarily running differently, but it felt like Canada's trust was already higher in Trubisky,
yeah.
or was already higher in Pickett, excuse me, than it whatever than it probably ever was in Trubisky, just by seeing the fact that even as calls for sneaks on the goal line and stuff, Trubisky's done in his other places. It's not like I have a hard time believing that, you know, Trubisky had this thing where it's like, you know, Trubisky is too afraid to, you know, sneak the ball. But we saw the confidence that Canada had in him by even allowing him to run that. And of course, it got the crowd pumped up. It didn't get me pumped up because I had Najee Harris on my fantasy team and I needed a touchdown.
Right, same.
But, you know, I'm cheering for him. I'm not an anti-Pickett guy. I haven't been, you know, it was just the fact mm-hmm. that the Steelers brought in Trubisky didn't make sense to me, right. But you know, I'm rooting for Pickett. I think my top thing is that the pressure's off right now.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
You, 1-3, if all goes wrong, the Steelers are finally picking up at the top where you can get a top offensive lineman. I can't help but look at Paris Johnson from Ohio State, Peter Skoronski from Northwestern, some projected move inside to guard, but you know, could play tackle as well. We saw Rashawn Slater stay at tackle a couple years ago, who lacked that length, but has become a really good tackle when healthy. There could be options for the Steelers at the top of the draft if the Steelers have the opportunity to pick that high.
Jalen Carter.
I think he's more of a 4-3 guy, but we'll get into that when we get spring time. Sure. We'll dive more into that. But Jeremy, where's the next place you want to go?
So I want to talk another pick, you know, a pick in George Pickens, who had somewhat of a breakout game here, and it started before Kenny Pickett came in the game. So to be fair there, Trubisky hit him on a couple throws that were very impressive. And I mean, George Pickens is just a violent player with the football in his hands, going up to the catch, run blocking. We saw another one where he just blew up a cornerback on the edge. And so he plays with an intensity and a violence that Steelers Nation is going to love as it continues to grow. But I think, you know, going over 100 yards in this game, 6 catches, I believe, on 8 targets. So a reliable target. And those couple back shoulder throws from Pickett to Pickens were incredible. So, you know, no matter how this season turns out, the Steelers have pieces. Man, you got to see that the Steelers have some pieces to build off of. It's not like, you know, say this is somewhat of a rebuild year by the end of it, you know, losing season, high draft pick, whatever, you know, a couple draft picks that you really hit and maybe a free agency addition that you really hit on. And this team's a true contender in 2023 if Pickett and Pickens develop the way you think they could. So some pieces in place. Very impressive week 4 for George Pickens, I thought.
I agree with pretty much everything you said about Pickens. My next thing is kind of correlated with the first thing, and that's that the scum is going to rise to the top. The dirt is going to rise to the top. When things are bad, we're going to see what both the players and the coaches are made out of, and we're going to see what needs to go and what doesn't. There's a lot of competition in the wide receiver room. A lot of people want to talk about. There's a lot of competition in a lot of different places. You could talk about the offensive line, who's legitimate, who is a piece of the future, and who is not. You could go to even the secondary and figure out, are any of these guys worthy, or at least the corners, at least, of being starting corners in future years? Or do the Steelers need to just gut the position and, you know, figure something else out? I also got to look at the coaches, too. I don't think Mike Tomlin's going anywhere. I think he can stay as long as he wishes. But what's going to happen with the offensive coordinator? How bad does the Steelers offense have to struggle with Kenny Pickett? I mean, Canada has no excuses at this point. I mean, if Pickett goes in there and lights it up, I don't think Mike Tomlin's going to get rid of Canada. I highly doubt that he'll even get rid of him if Pickett is just okay. I think the only scenario where we see Canada gone is if Pickett is no improvement at all from what we've had so far with the offense the first 3.5 weeks. I don't know if you would agree with that, Jeremy, but I think it's put up or shut up time for Matt Canada. If it wasn't before, we know how the Steelers are loyal to their assistants, but if the Steelers offense still continues to struggle in some sort of facet, even if it's just running the football. I don't think there's any excuses with this offense anymore. There's everything. He has everything he needs outside of a top notch offensive line. But their pass blocking has been better. So what else, what excuses does Kanda have at this point?
Yeah, he has none. I mean, he's got a quarterback that mobility wise and accuracy wise should be able to operate his system exactly how it should be. I mean, Trubisky should have been that guy as well. So, you know, whether Trubisky had what it took to be that guy or not, you know, that was the big question. And, you know, I think we saw that. I don't think that he did, but we'll see. If Kenny Pickett also looks lost out there, then I think that, you know, he's going to have to be someone who's held accountable for the struggles of his system. And like you said, Najee Harris, if he can't get going this year, again, if, you know, things aren't working well in that facet, then, you know, you got to think about that as well, because I mean, Najee Harris should be a top five back in this league, you know, on a weekly basis. Yep. He has that ability. And then this wide receiver room should be a top five wide receiver room in the league as well. You've got to think about that. Not just wide receivers, maybe pass catchers, but so you're right. The only thing he's lacking is an elite offensive line, and they've been very much serviceable through the first 4 weeks, and an established top tier quarterback. He doesn't have that, obviously. It could come, but right now he does not have that. So he's going to have to put up or shut up this year. That's the way I feel about it for sure.
I think a big part of Kanda is going to be getting the Canada guy involved in this offense, Chase Claypool, and seeing if he can get him going. But Jeremy, I think we both have two more things left we want to discuss real quick. Where are you going next?
Mine are fairly connected, so if you don't mind, I might just talk about them both right here. I think the growth of Alex Highsmith in this defense, you see him winning one-on-one matchups even without TJ Watt there. And that's very encouraging. He had the Steelers' lone sack in this game, but he pressured Wilson several other times and won his one-on-one matchup a lot. And I think that he's come into his own as a force. And with TJ Watt on the other side, this duo could be one of the better, or easily is one of the better pass rushing duos in the league, despite Alex Highsmith being kind of a no-name, if you will, second guy. He's got all the talent in the world, and he's refined his pass rushing moves and, you know, has shown to be an explosive player off the line of scrimmage. And I think he does a great job in run support. That is one thing that he has been doing very well, pushing the ball, you know, containing the edge and pushing the ball back towards the middle of the field like he's supposed to. I think he's doing a good job of that. And piggybacking off of that, TJ Watt is going to come back at some point this year. You know, whether that's before the bye, could be as soon as Tampa. Right. If you're talking, he can come off of IR after the Buffalo game, man, would that be huge? We saw him running on the sideline in week two, I think week three was it. And he looked, you know, fluid, and, you know, that's different than contact and stretching and whatnot. But so we'll see how that goes. But if he can come back sometime before the bye, maybe the season isn't over yet. And the AFC North is well within reach still for the 1-3 Steelers. Every other team 2-2. TJ Watt will be back. This defense will get better because of that. You know, as long as there aren't any other catastrophic injuries to that side of the football, they should return to top five form with the return of TJ Watt. So those two guys being very good will change things for the Steelers. And I think that they can be.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the offensive line. I'm not going to spend much time on the offensive line either, because we've discussed it some. The pass blocking has improved. They're not giving up sacks. They're still allowing some pressures, and they're still making it uncomfortable for the quarterback, but they're definitely not as bad as they were in that department last year. And they seem to be showing some growth, but the run blocking is still, woe is me. Yeah. really bad. It's kind of like one of those situations, you know, our offensive line is not garbage. It is now garbage, you know, it's a little bit fancier, you know, has a little bit more intrigue, but still really not good. But it is an encouragement to see that some of the young guys are stepping up in crunch time situations when the game has been on the line. Typically, the quarterbacks at least had some time, or at least part of the offensive line has done their job, even if the other half did not. So it's good to see that we're seeing some growth. It's not maybe the growth that we wanted to see, and we were kind of expecting it to come in the run blocking department before the pass blocking. But regardless, I think right now Steelers fans are happy with whatever they can get out of that line, and we are seeing some progression in the pass blocking department. And the last thing is the improvement of two guys that have been filled with drama, Chase Claypool and Devin Bush. Claypool is staying out of drama. He's not showing the production necessarily, but he is staying out of drama. He's staying out of the news, which is a plus. And you can't help but think that Claypool is going to see more looks with Kenny Pickett as the quarterback now. And Devin Bush, he's playing good football. Ladies and gentlemen, he is playing good football. He is solid in every aspect of the game. He's doing really well in coverage. He's doing good defending the run. He's not avoiding contact anymore. I think it is the Brian Flores effect, I've got to say. I think that he has come in and had a big impact on him. I know Miles Jack, he had a missed tackle yesterday. It wasn't his best game, but still out there making a big impact, and they're really seeming to feed off each other. And you can't help but think it's only going to get better when TJ Watt comes back, right?
Yeah, absolutely. That changes everything because the defense is designed around pressure with the front four, and you're just not getting that. It allows all these other guys to play so free. And yeah, Devin Bush gets lost in the wreckage every now and then because, I mean, he's not the biggest guy. The Steelers didn't draft him to be a thumper big guy in the run game. You know, he'll get lost in the wash every now and then. But as far as, like, you know, being in his spot and making sure that he's, you know, sticking to his assignment, he's been top notch with that. And you saw him stick his nose in there with some violence this last week, for sure. I think he nearly had a sack in this game against the Jets, brought a ton of pressure up in Zach Wilson's face, really affected that drive for them. And, you know, he and Miles Jack are working well in coordination. And I think you and I had some concerns about that going into this season, just stylistically, how they would mesh together. Brian Flores and Terrell Austin doing a good job of helping them mesh together and playing to their strengths.
Most definitively, find Jeremy at the Bets 93. Find me at Andrew_Wilbar on Twitter. Be sure to check out at BT Steel Curtain, behind the Steel Curtain, BTSC Steelers. Find us on Twitter. We put out great content each and every day. And be sure to check out behindthesteelcurtain.com, your one-stop shop for all things Pittsburgh Steelers. Jeremy, Buffalo Bills are next on the schedule. Mm-hmm. What are your initial thoughts?
Let's just, you know, keep it within a couple scores. Maybe, you know, win against the spread. Right now it's 14.5 points. So stay within a couple scores. That's my thought process. But their secondary is a little banged up. Maybe Kenny Pickett can take advantage with this wide receiver room. But that front seven for Buffalo is intense. So I don't expect much out of this game, but I just like to see some improvement and some continued, I guess, success from Kenny Pickett, George Pickett, some of these things that we've talked about offensively. And then, you know, how does this defense hold up against probably the best offense in football, even down a few wide receivers here? So, you know, the Bills are definitely not 100% healthy, so that helps the Steelers' chances. And we've already seen the Colts, who look like garbage for 3 weeks out of the four of this season, and they still look pretty rough against the Chiefs. They won that game because the Chiefs made their own boneheaded errors. It's not – any team can win any Sunday, don't get me wrong. But, you know, if the Steelers can squeak one out against Buffalo, that'd be amazing. But I would just say let's look for some improvement and some continued growth from the offense and the defensive units here, and take away the positives that we can going into this week.
See, to me, I almost think that this seems like the week that it would just make sense for the Steelers to pull off this amazing win. Yeah. All the talk is Kenny Pickett's going to be the best quarterback in Steelers history. And I mean, everyone is going to be riding this emotional high for the next week. I'm still picking Buffalo to win, but it wouldn't shock me if the Steelers shocked the world, and I'll just, wouldn't shock me.
Imagine Steelers Nation, if the Steelers and Kenny Pickett beat Buffalo, and then TJ Watt comes off of IR going into Tampa, the whole mood would change. You know, it'd be like,
imagine the flack Andrew Wilbar is going to get on Twitter if that happens.
Yeah, yes, absolutely.
Anyways, we're going to get out of here for the night. It's been a fun show, Jeremy. Thank you so much. It's been fun as always. We'll be back next week with another episode of the Steelers Fix. Until then, enjoy NFL football. Go Steelers.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.